My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. This week is a movie ep, and it was Ronald's turn to pick, and he selected the film Seventh Son from, I think, 2011, starring Jeff Bridges, Julianne Moore, Alicia Vikander, and the most boring man to ever live, whose name I have forgotten. Ronald, why did you select this film?
You know what? I don't have that much logic behind my selection here. I saw Jeff Bridges, and it honestly seemed like a fun theme, but also probably bad. So that was why I picked this one.
Yeah. Okay, and let's go around and what did you think of this? Rahul, would you like to start us off?
Sure. Well, the ending was incredibly underwhelming. I like Jeff Bridges. It's hard to recommend this. I don't think it's worth watching, all things considered.
Ronald, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I thought I was going to like this movie more than I did. I like Jeff Bridges' character quite a bit, and anytime he's on screen, you're having a pretty good time with him. But there's way too much of the main guy. I don't remember his name either, but it's the hot guy from Shadow and Bone. But, like, God, he's just so boring in this. I don't know if they just didn't give him any character, if he's just a terrible actor. I don't know.
Apparently.
Ed Barnes. He's a very hot guy, but I couldn't carry him through this. I would not give this a recommend. I thought this was mostly boring. I think if you could just watch, like, a cut of just the Jeff Bridges scenes, that's worth it, but watching the whole movie, it's not the worst time. I thought it was an okay time, but it's mostly kind of boring.
I kind of agree with you guys, although I really, really like Jeff Bridges in this because he's giving this insane performance. And so I guess it might be worth watching for that. It's an agreeable time waster, but nothing more. And, you know, if you came across it like on cable or you're like, I've got a Saturday afternoon to kill, this is a good thing to have on, and you can check your phone when the guy's being boring and just watch it when Jeff Bridges is doing something. It is pretty weird that it's an action movie where the action sequences kind of mostly suck. Although I was a little bit impressed because there is more practical effects than I thought there was going to be in this. Not a lot, but a lot more than you'd expect. And there are also like real like sets and locations and shit, which is oddly rare in like blockbusters now, so it's kind of cool to see it, you know.
There was definitely like a weird amount of love that went into the making of this movie for how like kind of soulless it felt.
Again, the cast is surprisingly good. There's also Jimon Hounsou in this, and the woman from Battlestar Galactica who isn't Starbuck or the sex robot.
That's what she is.
Who might also be an angel. The sex robot might also be an angel or a ghost or something.
Sex angel.
I really need to finish that.
Some Christianity thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, let's go ahead and roll for the summary. I'll be 1-2, Rahul, or Ronald 3-4, and Rahul 5-6.
All right.
Shit, it's me. Okay, Ronald, set me up a clock of 1:30 and give me a countdown.
All right. 1 second, sorry. Stupid phone. All right. All right. 3, 2, 1, start.
So we open on Jeff Bridges, or like somewhat a woman just getting like trapped in a pit and screaming, "Don't trap me in this pit." But then like the moon changes to blood. So she turns into a dragon and escapes from the pit. And then we cut to Jeff Bridges, who is very drunk and hanging out with Kit Harington. And he beats the shit out of a guy and then goes to answer some bells. And there he finds the dragon witch lady from the first scene. It turns out that Jeff Bridges is a spook or a member of the Order of the Griffins, who are apparently like a knight order that fight monsters. and he battles the dragon, but his apprentice gets killed, so he goes and buys another seventh son of a seventh son, because apparently to be a spook you have to have that, and takes him as his apprentice. The guy he's training is very boring, but Jeff Bridges is entertaining. They go on some adventures. Meanwhile, the witch lady Julianne Moore is like gathering her followers to take over the world when the blood moon hits, and the boring guy and Alicia Vikander, who is half witch, which kind of fall in love for no real reason. Alicia Vikander is being sent to spy on them, but she betrays them, the witches, pretty quickly. There's this really big climax where they all kind of fight. Jeff Bridges gets some incredible one-liners off. And eventually the day is saved. There's like a little more to it than that, but it kind of doesn't really matter because you're not watching this shit for the plot. And there's also an ogre guy named Tusk whose presence is never really explained, but I liked because he's realized with a pretty good, impressive suit. I don't know.
And that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I employed the clever technique of not giving details.
I mean, that's kind of what you have to do when you're doing the minute 30 summary of a hour and a half movie.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get into some high points. I mean, just the obvious one, Jeff Bridges. If you're going to watch this movie, that's the reason to do it. You know?
He's really funny. We were kind of talking about his accent in this. It's kind of like True Grit meets drunk, but he's already kind of drunk. I don't even really know. There's like half True Grit, half.
Well, how did you describe the word? As well.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Exactly. I was trying. Okay, so I have a theory on this, which is that if you got his character from True Grit drunk and then told him to do an English accent, and his character from True Grit has probably never met an Englishman and had very little idea how they sound, that this might be the accent that results.
Yeah, I could see that.
It also kind of sounds like he's constantly sucking a lemon.
His character is easily the most interesting one because he's just so weird and bizarre and doing crazy stuff. And it kind of boggles the mind why he's not the main character here.
He gets a little more side like action than the normal, like wise old mentor. In particular, he doesn't die 2/3 of the way through. But yeah, they should just have cut The Apprentice entirely, frankly.
I assume this is based on a book, which is why that happened. Because I'm pretty sure it is. I have not read the book, but I'm pretty sure if they had like written this movie just like for film, Jeff Bridges would be the main vehicle here.
Yeah, I looked at the book a little bit. The summary makes it sound like they yewed pretty quick close to this, although I didn't read it. I was mostly trying to figure out if this is intentionally a Witcher ripoff or if it's just like parallel evolution. The Witcher TV show had not come out when this movie did, and although there were Witcher video games, Witcher 3 had not, so it wasn't like the monster hit that like more people knew about. So it's ambiguous to me.
Yeah, I mean, like the book series was like, you know, known, but it wasn't crazy popular. I wouldn't be that surprised if, you know, it's just two separate things where there's like a series of, or where there's like people who hunt down monsters.
But I mean, the parallels are pretty striking. Jeff Bridges, like Geralt, is one of the few surviving members of a dying order, mistrusted by everyone he encounters, explicitly will only work for coin and shouldn't have sympathy for people. And although he is a pretty good fighter, the main edge he has over the supernatural are a variety of potions and semi-technological tricks he uses against them. All of which line up pretty neatly to the kind of things Geralt does. Although Jeff Bridges does not have magic powers the way Geralt does.
I think that people do trust Jeff Bridges in this movie, though.
But also in the Witcher video game, most of the people you meet are actually surprisingly cool for you, considering the Witchers are like this hated minority that's being genocided out of existence, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's not really an issue with the knights that Jeff Bridges represents in this movie, though. They pretty much have died to Mother Malkin or to the assassins. I don't think that most normal civilizations don't seem to have a problem with him, even though they do think that he's a drunk and probably isn't that trustworthy.
They do. He does give a weird monologue about how members of his order are mistrusted.
All right, fair enough.
I don't know. Yeah.
Members of my order mistrusted.
The weird thing, it's not close to the voice Jeff Bridges does, and it's also somehow not as weird.
Like, it's hard. It's a hard accent to do.
It's a really weird accent. Yeah. I told you to stay in the room, boy.
It's pretty good.
He also gets some. Really. He gets some really incredible lines in here, which is the other thing. Like, if you want to hear Jeff Bridges doing one-liners and selling the hell out of them, this is your movie.
Yeah. I mean, he's easily the best part, yeah. So, yeah, definitely a high point here.
A couple of Jeff Bridges lines, if you will. So, first off, his apprentice gets angry and throws a knife right next to his head. So Jeff Bridges goes, "Good aim." And the apprentice goes, "I was aiming for your head." And then Jeff Bridges just looks at him scornfully and goes, "Miss."
Your accent, Lawrence, is so good.
Then later he's handing the apprentice like a variety of like potions and shit. And he's like, "This one repels demons. This breaks magic." And then he just hands him a weird white ball and goes, "Ogre scrotum. For your enjoyment." And I'm back to fucking Dracula.
So Transylvanian. He has become Dracula. So fast. It was like the first line that Lawrence did was like kind of right. And then it just like very, like, yeah, very quickly veered to Dracula.
Anyways, I've got two more. First, okay. Jeff Bridges hands the guy a flask and he goes, "You must never have more than one sip of this a day." And the guy goes, "Why?" Like, he's like, "I bet this is some kind of magic potion." And Jeff Bridges just goes, "Because it is mine."
his Eastern European accent is like, so thick.
It's gone from Dracula to the Count.
And finally, and I'm going to try to do the real accent at this point, he gets into this climactic, the witches in this can all turn into dragons. So he gets into this fight with Jimon Hansu, and he's like, "Hey, you're facing me as a dragon, that's pretty punk move." And then Jimon Hansu turns into a dude, and Jeff Bridges kicks his ass and kills him, and then he goes, "Should have stayed a dragon."
Should have stayed a dragon.
I was like, Dragon mixed with Borat.
He's like the villain from John Wick 1.
Stay the dragon, yes. Very nice.
Yeah.
I would like to say, again, none of my accents any stranger than Jeff Bridges.
How am I not any stranger?
Definitely not stranger.
His acting's really weird in this.
I mean, trying to do his True Grit one is also pretty hard.
Yeah, but that one makes a little bit more sense to me. Like, my mind can understand it a little bit better.
Western guy.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, no, that was... Oh, man. Jeff Bridges, so good in this movie. If that had been, like, more what the movie was about and they just leaned into it a bit more, I feel like I would have really liked this movie. So, yeah.
Is that just Jeff Bridges, like... forever accent now? Because he in RIPD he did the exact same thing.
No, that's because he's in the Old West in RIPD, dude.
Okay, was he in the Old West in this movie, Lawrence?
Well, he's in the Old Western Europe.
Ronald, I like that one.
Alright, here's my high point.
Yeah.
Ben, I think that was his name. The evil dude from The Punisher. I already forgot his actor. I think it's Ben. The way he falls in love with the witch girl so quickly and immediately trusts her with everything totally works for the movie. It's not ridiculous at all.
I mean,
we're still doing high points.
Okay, the way they meet is she shows up in a, she's getting hounded by some villagers, and he's like, "Oh, she's a dangerous witch. I will take care of her because I'm a spook's apprentice. Give me some supply." He tricks them into giving him some supplies, and then he cuts her free and she runs off. And it's like, for this kind of movie, it's a perfectly acceptable meet cute and whatever. And you're like, okay, you know, three more scenes of dialogue and they can be in love. Then the next scene, he goes out to a lake where she could not possibly be and sees her skinny dipping. And she tells him to turn around. He does. She gets out and she has clothes on. And then when they touch hands, there's a magic blue spark. And she's like, "Oh, there's a legend that when a witch touches her true love for the first time, there'll be a magic spark." And he goes, "Oh." And then she's like, "Or it could have just been dust on my hand." And from that point forward, they are madly in love to the point where she betrays her mother.
Yeah, and also, like, okay, he has just learned that he's a witch hunter. They're the most dangerous thing. Then he meets a witch and is instantly like, all right, I'm going to cut this one free and not say anything because she's really hot. And it's like, dude, come on, dog.
And this is after Jeff Bridges has delivered a monologue about how much he hates witches, which culminates in the immortal line, fucking witches.
Fucking witches. Yeah, and I have to imagine that, like, he's pretty horny because he's a fucking teenager and has never seen a woman before, it seems like.
And it seems like he lived on a deserted island where the only people he could, like, women were related to him. You know.
Yeah, and so it's like, I get it. But at the same time, it's literally the one thing you were warned about. Like, are you serious, dude? But then again, she is super hot, so, you know, I get it.
See, that's why it's a high point. Despite all the facts that point to this not making any sense, you take one look at her face and you understand.
I mean,
my other argument is that if they had instead decided to have more scenes of them, like, falling in love, that would have meant more scenes of them talking with no Jeff Bridges, which are the worst scenes in the movie.
See, what should have happened was Jeff Bridges should have fallen for the girl and vice versa. That way we could have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and definitely they should have had, like...
I don't know what his role could have been. He could have been evil. He makes a really good villain. He makes a really good villain, I feel. That actor...
Sure.
Maybe he hasn't found his role yet, you know, because he seems so young in this.
Yeah,
not relevant.
He's a good villain in Shadow and Bone, at least.
Yeah, okay. Until season two. I mean, it's the actor is good at it.
He's terrible here. Or well, he might be good if they'd given him anything to do. But
they didn't give him anything. Yeah, to be fair.
What's he gonna do?
Kind of sucks.
Yeah, right. I agree. I think his performance in this was not good, but I also think that his character basically had nothing to do here.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He's pretty young. He's like he's still finding his footing. But yeah, he did not do a great job in this, I don't think. It's part of the actor's job to find, like, an interesting character, even if the script is shit, and he didn't do that.
Or, like, it's part of an actor's job to be, like, not so boring that you look away when they're on screen and wish something else was happening.
Yeah, I agree.
That's like very basic acting.
He's got to bring some charisma to the scenes, then he didn't do it.
Yeah. Anyways, other high points? Ronald, I don't know if you've done one.
Yeah. Okay, well, you kind of already touched on this, but I did like some of the effects and the scenes in this movie. There was, like, actually a decent amount of, like, stunt fighting in this. It wasn't great, I will say that, but at least they were trying. And so I give that a high point. Like, I didn't hate it. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't like I was watching, like, I don't know, Jackie Chan movie. But the stunts in this at least were, like, you know, they were doing some real stuff. They were actually having scenes where there was, like, real stunts in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll give it that.
The characters didn't instantly turn into CGI when they were trying to do something impressive. And they, although, like, obviously you have to cut like hell when Jeff Bridges is kicking ass because, you know, he's, like, in his 60s. There is better choreography than you would expect in a movie of this type of this vintage. And yeah, I especially liked how Tusk, the ogre guy, they put at least a little thought into, like, the kind of moves that a guy who's, like, just that big would be doing.
Yeah, and I think just it was kind of interesting. There was, like, a lot of different styles of characters in this. Like, there was a guy who was like, a sword king. What was he, the king of swords?
Well, there were, like, two different ones. One of them turned into a Hindu god, and one of them was just apparently a weird, like, savage guy with swords. Yeah.
And they had, like, different fighting styles. And then there was, like, the assassin guy who had chain swords, which was kind of interesting. And I will emphasize that it wasn't particularly great stuff here, but I do think that there was, like, some interesting ideas here, and they somewhat executed on them.
Yeah.
That's about as high a point as I can give.
Yeah. One other high point I have is that this movie, I mean, it trusts its audience a fair amount. Like, there's no opening scroll. It sort of just assumes you'll pick up on the world as it's going along. There are a couple of expository scenes, but they're kept very, very brief. I don't think more than 5 minutes of this is exposition for it to set up like a whole like other world with like this distinct like cast of people, guys who fight monsters, and then a lot of monsters running around, some of them harmless, some of them less so. They don't really spend any time explaining what witches can and can't do, which I guess you might see like be like, well, that means that it's all kind of like feels like arbitrary bullshit. But on the other hand, everything that the witches do seems kind of reasonable to me from what we see the witches do in like the first scene or two, you know? It's not that they're constantly pulling weird powers out of their asses. So it ends up striking a nice balance of very little exposition, but also you kind of get where it's going or what it's putting down and don't really need the exposition.
Yeah. No, I actually agree with it. That's a good point.
That leads to a low point of mine.
Yeah. Let's transition.
I got one more high point.
Okay. Remember your low point though, Rahul.
All right.
Yeah. This is kind of a weird high point because I wasn't sure how I felt about this, but I think I kind of liked it. The longer I sat with it, but in the end, Mother Malkin, who's like kind of the big boss of the whole movie, she ends up like, they don't even end up fighting her really. She ends up dying because she gets in a spat with her most trusted servant and they kill each other. And it's kind of a turn on like what you expect is going to happen in the movie. And I don't know, you know, you think that there's going to be some big conflict, and there is, but it's just not between the main characters and her. Like, they all have the kind of their own fights. And I think it just kind of fits in the movie of like, oh, she actually lost because of the way that she was like treating her servants, rather than like, you know, Jeff Bridges had to come and kill her with a sword or whatever. I think I kind of like that. So
her death scene is almost weirdly charming because she and Jeff Bridges are like former lovers and she like dies in his arms essentially.
Yeah, it was kind of nice, you know. Yeah.
It's a weird twist, but it's better when a movie does a weird thing than a predictable thing usually.
Anyways, yeah, I agree with that.
Let's transition to low points then. Rahul, you got one?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the movie spends all this time building up this cabal of ultra witches, and you know, this is obvious what my low point is going to be. Then the dudes come in, you know, to recover the lost gem or whatever reason.
There's a gem that makes the witches super.
Yeah, it's like her little steroid.
Apparently it makes you better at illusions, but it also just seems to make you shoot fireballs,
and if you try to touch the gem, it'll hurt you.
Yeah.
Like she, yeah. Anyways, Rahul, we'll keep. So you did. Oh, let me guess. It's going to be about relative power levels.
No, well, sort of. I mean, the relative power levels.
The ultra witches weren't strong.
They don't change, so that's good. But they're so weak that it's like these were the guys. Like,
yeah,
they fell to like four dudes who were quite good, but like these people were trying to take over the world, like.
Their power was never established.
The plan was to use these people to take over the entire world? That's crazy. I mean, I know that maybe it's augmented with the jewel, but come on. Like, Jeff Bridges
jewel,
freaking...
The jewel just turns his staff into a melt stick from Thor Ragnarok.
Most of the witch's powers do seem to basically be to turn into slightly better versions of animals that humans have been able to kill for thousands of years. Or to be a sword guy. They're two of them are just sword guys.
And then they lose in sword fights, which is
they
very
lose
confusing.
In the sword fights. Like, well, how are these guys going to take on the world? Like,
I don't think this guy you lost to is even trained.
I mean, and one of them like loses to a woman like telekinetically throwing a spear at him. But the thing is, she holds the spear telekinetically in front of him for like 10 seconds. And he makes no attempt to avoid. He's just sort of like, huh, telekinesis. That's weird. Oh, I'm dead.
It looks like he thinks it's funny, and then he gets speared. So you're like, what were you thinking there? What was on your mind?
Yeah.
Especially, so when they're fighting, the one of them can turn into a bear. And the way that this plays out is that he gets trapped by normal humans in a big cage that they just had conveniently lying around, apparently. And then Jeff Bridges goes and he breaks out of the cage and they get into a fight. And then Jeff Bridges just shouts, pour the oil down. So they pour a bunch of oil down into the room where the bear is. And then Jeff Bridges tosses like a fire at him after the guy can't do it. And it sort of seems like they did not need Jeff Bridges for this. They could have just done the oil and fire thing.
Yeah. Can you just send a message? Just burn him.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. It's not that. Not
they
could have
just sat back and shot an arrow at him. They didn't even need to burn him, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that they somehow got him into a cage in a cathedral makes me think that they had the situation pretty well under control.
I don't know, he got paid for it for some reason.
Another low point from me, and that's this movie just doesn't really have any consistent theming or ideas. Like, this whole scene, it seemed like there was going to be something either about mercy or about not having mercy, and that was going to be a theme in the movie, because in this, the apprentice, Thomas Ward, or whatever his name is, he doesn't want to kill the guy because he's like chained up, and then Jeff Bridges is like, go ahead, burn him and basically execute him. And Thomas is like, I'm not going to do that. That's messed up. And so you think that there's going to be something of like, you know, he hasn't been jaded. He's not cynical. And so maybe that's going to be like the connection that he makes. And I mean, in some sense it kind of is, because he hooks up with the girl, but like, that seems more out of horniness than anything. I don't know.
Yeah, plus she's only half witch, apparently. So,
and so yeah,
and so is he.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, okay, well, why isn't Jeff Bridges burning him?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like Jeff Bridges is pretty flexible in his.
Yeah,
and what, I mean, Jeff Bridges is sort of positioned at some parts of this like this unbending fanatic, but then he's also hanging out with Tusk, and at one point gives a lecture about how you shouldn't kill these certain monsters because they're only. I think he says challenge 7. So he, which was a very strange scene because it kind of implies that this is just an RPG world and Jeff Bridges yeah. is the only one who knows it.
He was just telling their challenge rating.
Yeah. But anyway, but it's, I think that it might just be that Jeff Bridges really hates Mother Malkin and is kind of ambivalent about everyone else. Except yeah. for the bear guy, because the bear guy apparently killed a bunch of his friends.
Well, but he also wanted to execute the
whole movie,
younger.
Don't be like him. He has no heart. He's so
right.
evil.
You exactly. know,
the gear you up to think that he's like.
Yeah, there's
you know,
going
like
to be some.
Ruthless, but
yeah, exactly. Doesn't. You think there's going to be some kind of scene where it's like the kid has to choose against Jeff Bridges' wishes to like be merciful?
Or it turns out that Jeff Bridges is actually the secret antagonist of the movie because he's going too far.
That would also have been interesting. Yeah.
Like,
but that just never pans out.
You know?
Yeah, and in fact, when Jeff Bridges actually confronts Mother Malkin, it's like this weirdly tender scene, like I said, where it's not, he doesn't seem, considering that she apparently murdered his entire family, he's weirdly kind of chill with her.
Which, like, I didn't mind the scene, but it just, like, what's the story here? That's all I'm trying to say. There's no theme. Yeah.
Maybe the point is just that Jeff Bridges is drunk all the time and this has violent mood swings.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's like a theme, but I think that is what happened.
If there is any consistency to his character aside from what they thought would be cool and what they thought it would be funny if he said, it's just that he's drunk.
Yep.
I don't know. So, any other low points on this?
Yeah, I have one. When, and this is a common thing that happens in a lot of shows and movies. Kid is spending the first night in Jeff Bridges' place, and he's told not to go out, but of course he does, and he wakes up this, like, suit of armor thing that tries to kill him.
Skeleton in it, yeah.
But the fight is like I said, movies do this, where they seem to drag out the fight. It didn't seem like the skeleton actually had any intent to actually hurt, because it was just, it wasn't trying to end the fight. It was just like throwing him around like a cat hitting a mouse, you know, like this isn't, it didn't feel like a real fight.
Now,
well, I assume that was a training dummy.
Yeah. Although I will point out that like, so movies have kind of trained us not to think about this, but if you actually get thrown like 5 to 10 feet through the air and then hit a like solid wall, that will just kill
true.
You, you know?
True.
So,
yep, you're right.
Well, maybe you, I'm built different.
Ronald is very dense.
Yeah, Ronald, or he's very light, like a piece of paper, you know?
Yeah. Well, I am very light, but my head is very dense.
He's so, like a dart.
Agree
with that. Ronald is incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really have that much else to say about this. Oh, one other thing, I guess. Julianne Moore, she's not bad here, but she should be so much better.
Yeah, I don't think she kind of phones it in, but she is pretty hot.
Yeah, but I mean, this is like this really juicy role of this like ultra sexy, ultra evil witch, and she should just be chewing every single fucking piece of scenery she can get. And instead, she's just kind of like acting normal, which would be fine in a normal movie. But the, I mean, if she had like been as crazy in her performance as Jeff Bridges, this movie would probably be like a minor classic instead of an interesting, she should have been like boring oddity.
She should have been like, bring me the jewel.
No, no, she should be different. In a, you know, she should be weird in a different way, but no, you're right. She should just be trying to do that accent too.
That would actually be amazing. Be like, wait, why is she doing that voice?
What the fuck is she doing?
People talk like this in that in the history of this movie? I don't.
Could you? Because, like, we have no. It would have been so weird.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, the fantasy world. So.
I can accept that accent from Jeff Bridges and no other actor or actress.
What if Alicia Vikander was doing it during the sex scene?
I would have just died.
Yeah, everyone in the movie should have been doing a Jeff Bridges accent. That actually would have made it so much better. I think critics would have been pretty confused.
Confused and pleased.
Yeah, and turned on.
Yeah. Oh, man. Julianne Moore's body, but Jeff Bridges' voice. And half of his facial hair. She gets the mustache, but not the soul. Patch. I don't know what the fuck that thing on the bottom's called. Jeff Bridges has like the Dr. Wily mustache where it just projects like at like parallel to his mouth, but out and off his face, like 2 inches on either side. And then he's got a thing that comes out the bottom of his chin that juts down about and out kind of about an inch. It's a very strange look.
Well, yeah, you go to Supercuts and you're like, give me the old-timey witch hunter.
Yeah. You're like, know what you mean.
You're like, hey, give me the spook haircut. And they're like, pardon me?
Yeah, they're like, dude.
Because, I mean, that is a racial slur a little bit. It's a very uncommon one, but it is still pretty
really? What is your racial slur for?
Maybe
we shouldn't talk about that.
Yeah, spook slur. It's who you think it is. Who are most racial slurs for?
All right, I was thinking. Well, I've heard it as kind of a slur. I've heard it as a slur for like FBI agents.
It's not a slur for FBI agents.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's ever necessarily used in a positive way. But you're right; it's not really a slur.
It's not really a slur.
It's more just like a. I don't know, nickname.
Yeah,
kind of a bad one.
You're like,
well, I mean, FBI agents isn't a race
nickname, though.
I don't know.
Spook, huh?
Yeah. Anyways, I guess I got nothing else to say. Do you guys got anything?
No, there's really not much to talk about in this movie. Unfortunately, I watched the first like 15 minutes of this movie to scout it. And after I watched that, I was like, wow, this is going to be a really good one for the pod. But those were like maybe the best 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, it is.
Because it had the most Jeff Bridges.
It's kind of fun to think how this movie would have been different if it had come out, if they'd filmed it like a year later after Kit Harington really broke big, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because this was, I believe it was filmed before Game of Thrones, but released afterwards. So the promotional materials lean pretty hard into it having Kit Harington, but he does die in the first 10 minutes. But him as the like dude or the apprentice and like switch the roles essentially, that could have been something, I think. Kit Harington's.
He has a lot more charisma for sure.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. I have a little game then.
All right.
Have
a good game.
Yeah. So this is the beloved by me and apparently no one else. Thing I like to call YouTube roulette.
Okay, yeah, let's play some YouTube roulette. This sounds fun.
So just go to your YouTube and read off the first 4 videos.
All right. Let's see what we got today.
Mine are not actually that embarrassing this time, which is, I guess, good for me.
Yeah, yours are, let me guess, Warhammer waifu, repeated 4 times.
4 different Warhammer waifu videos. I make the kind of important in this day and age thing of only looking at porn in incognito mode, so my algorithms remain pure.
Oh, so, but I cracked the incognito mode, so that's why I was able to make that joke.
Yep. So anyways, I've got a mix, Unleash the Archers, Northwest Passage official video by Napalm Records. That's actually an incredible song, and you guys should probably check this out. A Law and Crime video, Outrageous. Young Thug's lawyer accuses officials of planning courtroom chaos. Star Wars Jedi Survivor official final gameplay trailer, which I assume is sponsored because, of course, I would never watch a trailer for a video game or play a video game for that matter. And finally, Mix Mischief Brew Old Time Memory, A Fistful of Vinyl, which is another incredible song. So two good songs, one embarrassing courtroom video, and then SpawnCon. What about you, Ronald?
Okay, let's see what I got here. Okay, the first one I got is a weird one. The bizarre 50-course, 7-hour-long, $1,000 meal at Alchemist.
The fuck?
Apparently it's a video about experiencing this really weird 50-course, 7-hour-long meal. I haven't watched that one.
7 hours?
Yeah, it sounds really weird. Some of the thumbnails I'm getting from it look really...
The courses must be tiny, because you get full...
Yes, they are. They are. 50 course is a lot.
That sounds actually really annoying. Like a spoonful is each course?
Yeah, I think it was. I don't think it's quite that small, but...
I mean, it has to be small, right?
It's small, yeah. Like one dumpling or things like that. Okay, the next one is The Most Beautiful Games, 5 Games with Amazing Components by a channel called Board Game Dad. I find this one confusing because I don't play board games really, and I don't watch YouTube videos on board games, so I don't know why that one was recommended.
See, what happened was your computer detected that your mouse hovered over some board game content for about 2 extra seconds.
That is probably what happened. All right, the next video is just a video called I Love You Bastila, and it seems to be gameplay from 1900.
Yeah, that's your Bastila waifu content.
Yeah.
What is Bastila?
She's just a character from Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh.
She's voiced by Jennifer Hale, and I had an enormous crush on her in high school to the point where I liked a girl in my class because I thought she looked like her. Which is the wrong way order that that's supposed to go.
And then the last one I have is The Applications of Eigenvectors and Eigenvalues, that thing you heard in Endgame.
That's a good one, actually.
Is it? I haven't watched that. I mean, I know what eigenvalues and eigenvectors
useful,
are.
You know.
Yeah, I probably will not be watching
linear algebra.
I do watch for some reason I do watch a reasonable amount of math videos. Like sometimes when I'm bored, I just watch like the math problems, like that you used to do it, like, you know, the math counts, those kinds of problems.
Yeah.
They're kind of fun to solve. They're like very engaging. So, I don't know.
I just feel like they take mental energy to do, you know?
Yes. Which you have to be in the right mood. You have to be in the right mood.
A lot of times I just can't.
Yeah.
You know, I want to.
No, I get it. I totally
get
it. I want
to be productive and like figure out these problems that I'm just like, man.
Yeah. And you have to have a notebook because if you're not writing shit down, you're not solving it. It's like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You might just be faking it in your head.
There's sometimes where I like start to get on a track, but then like I like lose where I am, and it's like, oh man, I just wasted, you know, I don't know where the hell I am anymore. Now I just have to exit the video.
Yeah.
Just embarrass. All right, Rahul, what are yours?
All right, number one is I'm just trying to work out facepalm. I'm not exactly sure what that is.
Like embarrassing gym videos?
It must be.
All right.
Number two is best raw cat food brands of 2023.
That tracks with you.
Yeah, Rahul has gotten... You know how there's like people who own cats and then there are cat people? Rahul's at this weird inflection point where he's just turning into a cat person.
How is that weird?
That's a really great way of describing... describing.
I feel like for Rahul, the transition came when one, he gave up his master bathroom to the cats. His tub is now full of a cat.
All right, I'll concede that one. All right,
and then he did some math and decided that he should start cooking the cat's food.
Dude, it is so much cheaper. Like it's unreal. Cat food is such a scam. It's like you get like all these, I don't even know what they put in it, you know? And it's four times the cost of human food, at least.
Are you
it's
going crazy. By weight or something? Because
dollar per
that's not
ounce.
True.
Yeah,
it dollar is. Per ounce.
I mean, you can get like a 40 pack of cat tins for like at Costco for like $20, maybe 30, which works out to less than a dollar a meal.
Yeah, but what is that dollar per ounce? I mean, I guess I'm talking about kitten food.
Why the fuck are you doing like ounce? Are you like trying? Cats are tidy. You don't need to go by weight. Just give them a can.
I also think if you compare it to, like, I don't know, Stouffer's meals or something like that, it's definitely not.
Or ramen.
Definitely not more expensive than human meals.
Yeah.
I think
a ramen is 50
ramen
cents,
is really
dude.
Light.
I'm obviously not talking about fucking ramen or whatever the fuck Ronald
you
said.
You said human food.
Yeah, yeah, human meat. Beef? It has to be relevant.
Yeah, human meat is incredibly expensive, Rahul, because it's very illegal, and also it will give you guru.
You're talking about just like raw beef versus
it would
like
not
a prepared
give me
meal.
Guru, first of all,
it's
all
like
right.
You've learned nothing from me.
I'm vegan, dude.
It yeah, why the fuck me. Are you talking about the cost of human meat when you're vegan?
Well, vegan yeah. can talk about the cost of human meat.
Vegans can eat humans.
But only if the human consents.
Yeah.
It's only if it's a different species.
Yeah. Yeah. Or something.
Yeah.
Humans deserve it. That's the difference.
Yeah. Anyways, I have another game.
Wait, I'm not even done, dude.
Oh, yeah, he's not done. He's only done two.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
This
what's
is all
the third
your
one?
Fault. All right.
Yeah, that's fair.
Bobby, vegetarians can't be trusted.
Wait, really?
God dang it, yes, Bobby.
Really?
Wow,
the number
that's
four
pretty
is
good.
Update on coffee.
What's going on
coffee?
With coffee?
Coffee just got a new update? New update just dropped?
Coffee V1.02.
Coffee cool.
Read the patch notes on that, all right? Bolder all flavors. Right. Less acid. Yeah, you're not gonna read him. Or...
He's too embarrassed.
Wait. What did you say?
What is the coffee update?
Oh, let me click it. All right, let's see.
What does that even mean? I'm just curious what this video is.
Yeah, I'm just gonna send this to you, and you can
describe it frame by frame.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a comment that just describes it.
Isn't there a description?
There's nothing in the description about...
There's nothing in the description? What is this video? Is this just like a vlog?
I like that. Okay, so it's a coffee update, but it's also a coffee update that's so bizarre that it does not go into the human tongue.
Why doesn't it fucking
It can't be described.
It doesn't. I mean, it's only a minute long, but there's no blurb that says...
It's non-Euclidean coffee. You know at the time you'd be talking about how you couldn't possibly describe this video? You could have just watched it.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, but I'm saying we've been making fun of you for a minute, probably.
Yeah. We've been making fun of him for a lot longer than a minute.
Yeah, for years, really.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, what's the next game, Lawrence?
Okay, so I've been reading a bunch of 40K novels, and one of the things that really fascinates me about 40K is that it's set like, you know, 38,000 and change years in the future, right? So yeah. There's this weird mix in it of one, sometimes the author will just want to do a pop culture reference. Two, sometimes they will like have a normal thing in 40K but give it a science fiction-y name. Or three, sometimes they will just have like the thing be 40,000 years in the future. So that inspired me to make this game 40K or 40 No Way, where okay. I'm going to name a thing and I'm going to want you, we'll go around and I want you one to tell me if it exists in the 40K universe and two, if it exists in the 40K universe, does it just have its regular name or does it have a dumb name? And three, what that dumb name is. Telling me whether it exists or not is worth a point. Telling me whether it has a dumb name or not is worth a point. Guessing the dumb name is worth three because that's fucking hard. And,
okay.
All right.
We're going to just go around. And I am actually going to keep score because this is interesting. So, Rahul, you're up first.
All right.
So, gasoline.
Yes, it has a dumb name.
So, you're saying yes, it exists, and yes, it has a dumb name.
Yeah.
Okay, what is that dumb name?
God, I feel like I'm just infected by Mad Max.
Make more noises.
I like that you're like, I'm being affected by Mad Max, and then you made like noises for 30 seconds, and then you just said the thing for Mad Max. Raul, you get 2 points. It exists, and it's got a dumb name, but it's called Prometheum.
Ah!
Ronald?
Never guessed that.
Okay.
Bacon. Just bacon.
Yes, I think it exists.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I think it has a dumb name.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's something like processed porcine sides or something.
Ronald, no points because someone may have referenced bacon somewhere in 40K, it has not happened in any of the novels I've read.
Damn it.
Okay. Rahul, this one we're going to have open to both of you because it's so strange, if it exists or not. So, Kyra Sedgwick, actress and wife of Kevin Bacon.
What?
Yep.
All right. I'll say yes. And her name is Kyra Sedgwick.
So, okay, Ronald, what do you think? Did I just randomly do something, or does Kyra Sedgwick exist in 40K?
I don't even know how to answer this. What does it even mean for Kyra Sedgwick? Doesn't it take place in the real world? So, like, of course she exists.
I love how Ronald's asking all these questions.
Okay, so
I'm going to say yes, and she has the same name. Because I don't understand the question.
Okay, Ronald, you get 1 point because you said she exists, but that she doesn't have a dumb name. Rahul, you're up now up to 4 points because you correctly guessed that Kyra Sedgwick exists in 40K and she has a dumb name, but you didn't get it.
Oh, I did not get it.
I swear to Christ, this happened in the Caiaphas Cain novel, Death or Glory, I think. It might be The Traitor's Hand, but he just randomly mentions a minor character named Kyra Sedgwick. She is never brought up again, but it's very clearly a reference to Kyra Sedgwick for some reason.
How did you know? Who is that?
She's an actress. She's a B-list
actress from 20 years ago.
She's married to Kevin Bacon. He once cast her in a movie called Loverboy that was mostly an excuse to show off her ass.
And it's very confusing why there would be a reference to her.
Yeah, I know.
That's amazing.
Okay. Next up, Ronald, you're a little bit behind, so I'm going to give you a crack at this one. Pineapples.
Right. Pineapples. I keep getting food ones. Okay, I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say they have a weird name.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're going to be called Sour Spikes.
As far as I know, pineapples do not exist in Warhammer 40K.
Stop giving me the no one.
Raul, eggs exist in Warhammer 40K as a thing that you eat, not like tyranids and shit.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
And they call them nutrition pods.
That's 2 points. Eggs do exist, but they're called embryolks.
Oh, fuck!
Oh, that's actually pretty good.
I like that, actually.
We should start calling eggs that.
Ronald, do waffles exist in Warhammer 40K?
I feel like waffles is too wholesome of a food. I'm going to say no.
Ronald, not only do waffles exist in Warhammer 40K, but they're just called fucking waffles.
Are you serious?
Damn it. Yeah. I suck at this game.
They renamed everything but waffles.
But waffles.
Oh my god.
Do they have syrup?
Yes, they fucking do. They don't say what from.
Is it called syrup?
Yeah, they have fucking waffles and syrup.
Oh my.
And they're just called waffles and syrup.
They're just called waffles and syrup, huh?
Caiaphas Cain eats them at one point.
Okay, you know what? I can't blame them.
Yeah, I'm going to give you, you get it. We're going to go round robin on this one. Right. Alcohol, like as a beverage you drink to get intoxicated. Does it exist in Warhammer 40K?
Yes.
Does it have a dumb name?
Yes.
What's it called?
I'm going to say ether.
Okay, Raul, do you want to take a stab at this one?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say that no, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
That's one of the horrors of Warhammer 40K. You must face the horrors of Warhammer 40K.
Sober, baby.
Alcohol does exist. It has a stupid name. It's called Ambersec. Don't know why. It kind of sounds like it should be a kind of alcohol, but that's the only alcohol they ever mention.
I would not have guessed that.
Yep. So Raul, it's 6-3 Raul. Ronald, you know, I do admit I gotta you know what? Actually, let's do one more for all the fucking monks.
All the beans.
All the beans.
That doesn't seem very fair, but I'll allow
it. I mean, it can only benefit you. Yeah. Okay, Ronald, does Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh exist in Warhammer 40K?
I know. Okay, yes.
Okay.
And he has a weird name.
Uh-huh.
And it's... Eeyore.
Raul, what do you think? Does Eeyore the donkey exist in Warhammer 40K?
Fuck, man. It's just so weird that I have to say yes.
Okay. Does he have a weird name in Warhammer 40K?
No, Eeyore's weird enough of a name, so he's still Eeyore.
You know what? I'm actually calling this a tie, because Eeyore does exist. There's a pessimistic philosopher mentioned in a Caiaphas Cain novel called Eeyore the Donkey. Spelled so fucking dumb. But I think that it's kind of a split whether that counts as having a weird name or not. So it's a tie.
I don't know. I think I did pretty good on that one, honestly.
Yeah, honestly,
I'm disputing this decision.
When it comes to Warhammer 40K.
You've
got to be here to the polls.
We're going to, and I assure you, we are going to play this again because there's a lot of stupid fucking shit in Warhammer 40K, including, and I cannot stress this enough, waffles.
Wow.
Okay. Anyways, I'm glad that this first run at this game went well. I've literally been working on it for a couple of weeks by pulling references.
That was really good. I liked that one.
Solid.
Anyways, let's go ahead and do recommendations and cautions. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Raul, why don't you go first?
Okay. I recommend the Raid Redemption. Pretty sweet, pretty stark contrast to that fight scene I was talking about earlier, where it really seems like people are trying to kill each other in that.
Oh yeah. Say what you will about the raid. Everyone in that seems to be trying to kill everyone else kind of at all times.
Yeah. And they don't dial it down. Like no, people fucking, yeah, it's like brutal.
And yeah. I didn't remember how good it was. And I also recommend Beef. I recommend Beef. Good shit.
You should explain what Beef is, because otherwise that's a very ambiguous recommendation.
It's just a show on Netflix.
He recommends the food.
At this time, it's pretty popular.
Keeping grudges against people.
Yeah, it's about grudges that take down lives. It just sort of blossoms out.
It's a Netflix show. Let's put it that way. Netflix let's at least show. Give them that much. Next.
As far as flicks go, this one's definitely net. So fucking stupid.
Oh, and Ronald. I have another recommendation. Hold up.
Okay.
Hold up, baby. I need to send you guys something.
This is a plug, dude.
No, this isn't the plug. This is a recommendation.
Okay, great. Because breaking our show as effortlessly as you broke the Warhammer 40K quiz.
Check it out, guys. Fucking did it.
Are you sending the?
There's like four different ways you could have sent this up.
It's on your phone.
Oh my god!
I don't have my phone. What is it?
All right, let me look.
Oh, yeah. I don't like the fact
that Ronald my said, God, you've got to look.
God damn it. Okay, I'll be back.
Dude, it's so good.
Oh, my God. It feels how was this?
So good.
I'll be right back. Wait.
Put, yeah. put it in your hand.
Did you buy a Sibian?
Oh, man.
You fast to turn around for that one.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Okay. How much was it?
It was 200.
Wow.
Well, look.
You really
my taxes ended up costing like $1,000, so I was like, fuck it. I earned it.
I'm going in on the queue.
If I'm going down, I'm buying something.
I enjoy that this is a very visual gag for an audio
It's
medium.
Like you have this in your hand, man, and it just feels
like how heavy
so
is it?
Good.
Oh shit, he got the tungsten too. Rahul's dreams are coming true.
How it's much a kilo. It it's a fucking kilogram.
It's a full kilo.
Yeah, wow. And it's got the dimensions of my thumb. So
you
yeah.
got a weird looking thumb, dude. Because that's a fucking cube.
It's so great. Oh my God, this thing's amazing. I thought my cats would be totally weirded out by it, and they just like snuffed at it, and that was it.
Cats famously hate cubes. I don't care. Well, because Rahul was planning on throwing it at them.
I was. God, catch, you little bitch.
That hurt. That hurt me.
Anyway,
so Ronald, do you have a recommendation in caution?
I do, yes. All right, recommendation. So my recommendation this week is a little show called Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. Some of you may be familiar with it. It is. It started off as a YouTube series, basically a series of videos that were released, not at necessarily a regular cadence. It's a very strange series where it's like, it's kind of looks like Sesame Street or like a kid's show that's like educational, but it like veers into the strange and almost horror. And so those are really good. But then recently, about 6 months ago, it released a full season, 6 episodes, and each episode is 20 minutes-ish on British television. But that is all uploaded to YouTube as well. So go check out Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. It's just incredible. It's kind of hard to describe. It's funny. It's kind of horror-y. It's surreal. It's fun. It's a really good time. Don't go in with like too much expectations. Just kind of take it for what it is. It's very strange, but it's pretty good. So yeah, that's quite excellent. I definitely recommend it. Now as my caution, I caution against Mythic Quest Season 3. I wasn't really that. I don't know if I cautioned against this before.
I don't think you have, but I'm very on board with being ambivalent about Mythic Quest.
I've never really been that into Mythic Quest. I didn't think the first two seasons were amazing. I don't know why I was still watching it. But the third season, I just honestly thought it was just... I mean, it just doesn't... It's not like I'm against the message of the show or anything like that. I don't think it's like trying to do anything bad. It's just not... I don't find it funny, and I don't find it very well written. It's got like a pretty popular following. So I keep thinking, like, maybe I should give it another shot. But, like, season three, really, I just found it really boring. And I thought it was written kind of poorly. And it feels to me like it has a lot of those, like, well, this is awkward kind of jokes. That, like, I don't know. Haven't we figured out that those aren't good or funny?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It will very occasionally seem like it's going to go somewhere, like, pretty dark and interesting about, like, how toxic or weird gaming culture is. Or like the corporate culture around producing video games, but it always kind of turns the blade away at the last second before it can ever like really draw blood or do anything. I kind of want to see if it wasn't on Apple TV where it would actually be allowed to be dark, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like season two has at least some interesting things that it tries to dive into, but season three, I was just like, dude, I'm so bored with this. It's like so painful how some of these scenes are written. So anyways, I definitely don't recommend Mythic Quest just in general, but especially season three. That's it for me.
Okay. So I've got, I'm not really cautioning against anything, but I do have two recommendations. Hell, you know what? I'll even do three. So first off, I read a horror novel called The Hollows by Daniel Church from, I believe, 2022. It's about a cop in a small town in northern England where, like, a body turns up and it appears that someone, it has no, like, injuries on it, but someone, like, somehow herded it up into the guy up into, like, a rock, you know, like he was huddling up against a rock outcropping, like terrified out of his wits and froze to death while whoever like herded him up there just watched. And then they carved a very strange symbol on the wall next to him. And so she like starts investigating and it turns into a monster story. It's never exactly surprising in it, like the generalities of what it's doing, but it's often the particulars are often a bit like twisty, and it's very well, like the notes it's hitting you are ones you've heard before often, but it's hitting them very well. So I really recommend it. The villains are very, the characterization's good. The monsters are inventive a bit and scary. The ultimate, like what's going on is pretty interesting. You know, it's just like a very solid first novel. What's up?
Yeah. It sounds good.
And then the second movie I'm recommending, this is weird because this is the second Killer Santa movie I've recommended. This is Christmas Bloody Christmas, which is on Shudder from 2002. This one, for some reason, a corporation made a Santa Claus, like repurposed their military robots into robot Santa Clauses for use in toy stores. And one of them goes crazy and tries to kill everyone. And it basically just, it's not funny, which is weird. It like there are jokes in the first half, but it's the characters telling jokes to each other to make them laugh. It does not play its premise for laughs, and is in fact brutally violent. And it ends up just being a Terminator riff. But what I liked about it was that it really takes its time, like before the Santa starts killing people, like setting up characters. So when the Santa actually starts like murdering folks, you're like, oh, I like those folks. I'm sad to see them go. This is actually horrifying. Plus the violence is genuinely upsetting. Yeah. And finally, I've been reading more Caiaphas Cain novels, as you guys see. And the last one I read, Death or Glory, in particular, is the best Caiaphas Cain novel I've read, and I urge you guys to check it out. Cain ends up stuck like far behind enemy lines on a planet that's being conquered by orcs, and kind of almost by accident, while trying to save himself, defeats the orc, like raises an army and like defeats the orcs. That's not a spoiler. Like they tell you that that's what's going to happen in the first like chapter, but watching him like accidentally become a hero is pretty funny. And also there's a tech priest of medium hotness. She hasn't quite achieved the full tech priest hotness by replacing all of her flesh with machine parts, but she, you know, it's still nice to see a female tech priest. And she sounds pretty cool. Anyways.
Yeah. Everyone seems to love the Caiaphas Cain. I haven't read those, but
I guess by everyone, you just mean me. Cause I keep fucking talking about them.
No, nah, I feel like I see a lot of people talk about Caiaphas Cain.
Yeah, they're like 40K airport novels, essentially, or airplane novels, you know. None of them is like, oh my god, but they're always fun to read.
Yeah. Anyways. It seems like they have a little bit of levity, unlike most 40K novels.
Oh yeah, they are explicitly comedical, as you can tell by the fact that they had a fucking reference to Eeyore in them.
Eeyore the donkey.
Anyways, and Rahul, do you have a plug?
Yeah, I want to plug George Foreman's son's names for being amazing. Have you heard of this?
No. This where he just kept naming them George Foreman the second, George Foreman the third, etc.
So yes, he has George Foreman Jr., then George 3, 4, 5, and 6. There is no 2, weirdly.
Junior's 2.
Yeah, Junior's 2, dude. So, unless you're a king, you got to do the second instead of two, or junior instead of two. But that, you know what? Fuck it. He's like, why I got to remember all these names?
Do you think he just calls them by their number?
How else could it possibly work?
It's gonna be like number George, Georgie,
oh, shit.
Georgino,
the Georgester.
Yeah, El Georgerino, yeah. He could.
The whole brevity thing.
Yeah. Maybe some of, I don't know what their middle name is. Maybe some one of them goes by that.
On his website, he says he named all his sons George Edward Foreman so they would always have something in common.
What? What about the fact that he was their father? Is that enough?
And also the last name, and also that their family.
And they would have grown up together, I mean, the dude, so they'd probably have a lot of shared memories.
The dude probably has brain damage. I mean,
you know, George Foreman is, I think he's legit one of the richest, like, boxers because of, like, essentially the George Foreman grill.
Yeah. He'd
blow it all, right?
Although I also heard that he had to declare bankruptcy, like, in his 40s and then, like, somehow went out and won the heavyweight championship again.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah, which like, is, he lost to Muhammad Ali and then he kind of just disappeared for a really long time. And then he came back when he was, like, in his 40s and just, like, he, it was like a really contentious time in boxing, but so there was like a lot of championship changes, but he like actually ended up winning the belt back, which is kind of insane.
Shit, for a guy in his 40s.
That's, yeah.
Who'd I already been a boxer all that time.
I
like boxers,
not even you, think that was possible.
Like boxers, you legit only get like maybe 20 or 30 fights over the course of your entire career because it is so horrible on you.
It's like easily like the, well, I don't know. It's the most. I don't know if like MMA is worse or kickboxing, but yeah, fighting.
I mean, it's certainly fighting for a place.
Yeah.
You know, that's I have a lot of affection for George Foreman because when I was growing up, for some reason, the Disney Channel would like, they had all these programs about like new rides at their parks, and he would always host them for some reason.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because they're like, you know, who kids like boxers who retired before they were born.
But Ben came back. I mean, he was fighting in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell, you're a 90s kid.
Yeah.
You're watching boxing in the 90s.
I mean, I was. I think I actually went to a party where they ordered a George Foreman fight.
Dang.
So.
Yeah. And an incredible athlete.
Yeah. Just incredible. You got to give him that.
Yeah, him and Ali, man.
Honestly, for how many fights he's been in and for how the fact that he's basically a brawler, he's not like an outfighter, he is in incredible shape. Like, he does not seem like he has nearly as much brain damage as a lot of other boxers.
It's a great sport when you can say he's in great shape. He doesn't have nearly as much brain damage.
I mean, yeah, it's messed up. It's messed up.
Yeah. Does he just take out the other dude too fast? Is that his thing?
I think he just had like an iron freaking skull. I don't know.
Holy shit. He's had 81 fights and 76 wins.
That's
he is insane. Crazy. Dude. Like before he lost to Muhammad Ali, a lot of people thought he was unbeatable.
He basically is from that.
That fight is also like incredible. That's a thriller in Manila, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Where like everyone thought that Ali was like washed and he did that rope-a-dope thing where he just hung out on the ropes and let Foreman punch himself out. Yeah. Well, he dodged a lot. And then apparently if you're on the ropes, you can like redirect the force of the punches to the ropes. So he just let him tire himself out and then kind of it's sort of like that thing Homer tried to do in the one where he becomes a boxer, except
doesn't work. Yeah. Well, it doesn't work against the Mike Tyson of the Simpsons.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyways,
it's crazy because this guy's 74 now. And I'm pretty sure he could still beat the shit out of me.
It's just impressive. I mean, here's the thing. The strength goes last, so he would just literally kill you with one punch.
Great.
I mean, he wouldn't really be able to move around that much, and he wouldn't be able to like outlast, you know, a modern boxer. But against you, he would just punch you once and he would die.
Pathetic as you.
I mean, against me too. But I mean, you know, a non-professional boxer.
Yeah, I know. There's a gulf in difference. But it's crazy to think that someone can be, you know, halfway through their 70s and still hold their own against a 30-ish-year-old dude. You know.
Yeah, we're not exactly specimens of fighting. No,
I think I could probably. Okay, how's this? I could win him in a fight by running away and making him chase me
Why would he chase you?
Because he wants to win the fight, and then I use my superior.
Doesn't that mean you lose the fight if you?
No,
run
he
away?
Has to. He has to knock me out.
Yeah, that's the only win condition. You know what? Maybe. But I think he would just stay there until in either time, because you just stayed on the other side of the ring the entire time. Or if you tried to go in to get a point, you would die.
Yeah, he wins on points because they're like, he's George Foreman and you're not.
I mean, considering that this dude came back in his 40s, maybe he could chase you down. Shit, I don't know what he's capable of.
I think the ring is like small enough that even though like you could run away from him, he has a really long reach. I think he could get you.
Yeah. Okay, well, we definitely need to not fight in a boxing ring. That's for first. Yeah,
if you guys are just like fighting out in a field, then I think you could get away at least.
I like that.
I'll give you that.
My condition is gone from winning to surviving.
Yeah, you sure showed that 75-year-old.
Actually, as we know from the Life and Times of Tim, it's very dangerous to fight old men.
I'm going to box an old man. Oh, man.
Yeah, anyways, from all of us at Bad Time Radio, don't worship Satan. It's bad for you. Signing off.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening. Well, I was gonna get-